That's James chapter 1 tonight. James chapter number 1, once again continuing in this thought about Bible. One thing we're thankful for is good sound people, right? Amen. So could you imagine if they were... I had one sound guy one time tell me, he says, I can make you look really good or make you look really bad. I says, I don't think anybody can make me look really good. And talking about the sound and things like that. And he chuckled. He says, I can make you sound really good. Really. He's gone on to be with the Lord many years ago, and he was joking with me. He says, sound people are important, and they are. And thankful for all the people who work in our sound and it's grown from sound to being PowerPoints to being live stream. All those things are important. I know there's at least four or five people who talked to me tonight about watching tonight on the live stream, wasn't able to come, different reasons, but I'm very thankful for that. We don't want to use that as excuse, but at the same time, it's nice to have when their circumstances keep you away. Okay, James chapter number 1, blessed in his deed. And that's what we're looking for is considering the passage tonight. It was going to be about how I am blessed and looking at Ephesians chapter number 1. And we were going to look at 3 all the way down, talking about different ways that we are spiritually blessed. And I just wasn't able to get done everything I wanted to. That's a lot longer of a passage, a lot more in depth. And so tonight I knew that this one was going to be coming, and this one was how the Lord laid it out and worked it out. And sometime soon we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and where the Lord says, blessed is the, and that Matthew chapter number 5. And boy, if you want to talk about some challenging passages, some places that you can look at and be truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, looking at things the way that God sees them, that is something that is a challenging passage. And I'm looking forward to getting in that, and that's more than likely going to be on Wednesday nights. But for tonight, fantastic passage of Scripture, something that is, you're going to say, Pastor, is a little bit redundant. We've heard something similar to this, or you kind of alluded to this a number of times, and that's because God does. Over and over in the Scriptures, He brings this point out. Don't just be a hearer of the Word, be a doer of the Word. And Psalms chapter number 1, it talks about blessed is the man, and he doesn't do this, doesn't do this, doesn't do that, but his love, you know, he delights in what? The law of the Lord, and that if he meditate day and night. And then he talks about being a tree planted by the river of water, and talking about how he prosper in his time and his season, and how his leaf doesn't wither, and all those different things. But tonight there's another illustration that goes even a little bit deeper, helping us a little bit more to get this point at the end of verse number 25, shall be blessed in his deed. And that's what we're looking for, is we're looking for the blessing of God. I say it and I truly believe it. I do not want to spend my whole life doing things for God and God not blessing it. I don't want to do everything in the name of God or do everything in this idea of, hey, I'm serving God. I don't want to spend my life week after week coming to church multiple times a week, reading the Bible every single day, praying and doing all these things without the blessing of God. If there is something that makes a connection there, there's something that the Bible says, this is what I'm going to bless. I don't want to give my life knocking on a door after people, after knocking on a door or visiting people in the hospital or doing all these different things and not have the blessing of God. There's other things. The world goes out there and does a bunch of other things, and I'm thinking, hey, if I'm not going to have God's blessing in my life, then why in the world do I need to do all these things? There's a connection there that many times Christians have spent their whole entire life serving but not getting the things that God says, this is what I'm going to bless. And that's what the idea of this year is. Let's find out what God blesses, and let's do that. Let's find out. When he says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, let's not do that. When he says, don't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scornful, let's try this out. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate night, day, night. Let's do it. If it's more blessed to give than receive, I'm in. If it's more this is the blessing of God about serving, like we learned about with the washing of the feet, let's do it, because that's what we're looking for. That's what we're here to get, the blessings of God. Sitting here and just doing it just for show is a waste of time. It is. And it's going to lead to a life that is just miserable and unhappy. And one of my devotions, I have different things, and this year I've been going through a devotion book that instead of, it's a not a traditional devotion book. They have a certain topic and they just give one little verse. But then the author has gone through and he's given quotes about that subject from great men and women of the past. And I've enjoyed just reading some of the quotes. And today's quote was talking about being a joyful Christian or a joyless Christian, and talked about it is not very often a person meets a joyful Christian. Why is that? It's not very often that a person meets a joyful Christian. Why is that? And I'm thinking, wow, that's really true. I mean, we might have happy people, or we might have people who are kind and nice disposition, but being a joyful Christian is not something that we do. Have a few people around here that have joy on them, and you can tell. And I'm not talking about some made-up thing. I'm talking about having the joy of the Lord in our heart, and we're not downcast, we're not overwhelmed, we're living for the Lord, and even though the world could be falling apart around us, we still have the joy of the Lord as our strength, and we're thankful and happy and all those other things. Very rarely does somebody meet a joyous Christian. Why is that? And I was thinking, well, that helps. So there's quotes like that on certain topics each and every time. And the Lord's helped me. And that's what I want to go through this year. And I want to pinpoint what the Bible says. This is what God's going to bless. And I want to be all in. I want this. I want God's blessing. So I want to learn. So tonight, there is something that says at the end of verse 25, this man shall be blessed in his deed and his actions. I want to know what that is. And this is what it talks about here. We're going to go ahead and start in verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So verse 21 kind of puts it out there. There are some things we're supposed to lay apart. We don't need to have anything to do with filthiness, dirt, things like that, and the superfluity of naughtiness. And then it talks about receiving with meekness. And that idea of meekness there is talking about willing to learn, receiving with meekness the engrafted word, letting the word of God make a change in us, which is able to save your soul. So if we're really truly going to understand the Bible and obey the Bible, we have to understand who God is. We have to understand who Christ is. We have to be willing to come to this moment and say, okay, I need to be in Christ. I'm never going to truly get it all. I'm never going to truly understand it all until I get in Christ. So when I'm in Christ, then he can begin to reveal things unto me. If I'm not in Christ, I'm not going to learn what he wants and what he desires. And instead, I'm going to depend on myself to the point, determine what is right and what is wrong. And we taught with the, and I really enjoyed our children's classes, and I like working with children. Sometimes I'm not super fun, I feel like sometimes I connect a little bit more with children than adults, maybe because I have that lower thought process, I don't know. But we taught them about the word sin, and we give them a Bible word every single week, and we try to teach them what this word means from Scripture, so that way when we use the word sin, or when we use the word thankful, and we use certain words, it's something that they'll know what we're talking about. We talked about what wine was a couple weeks ago and the difference between the wines. This past week, we talked about the word love and talked about how Jesus, and we talked about the story of the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus and how he loves all types of people. And every single week, there's going to be something. Next week, we're going to talk about the man with the withered hand and how they were there and how they were being hypocritical. They were hypocrites. I'm going to teach them what the word hypocrite means. Well, we looked at about the word sin, what the word sin meant. And we talked about how it's doing something that displeases God. Anything that's against what God would want us to do. And because I know sometimes we turn around and say, that's a sin, and that's a sin, and that's a sin. But if we don't know what God's opinion is, how in the world are we going to know what's right and what's wrong? Obviously, there's some things in there that we think, oh, of course, that's wrong. That's pretty self-explanatory. But if we don't know the mind and heart of God, there is lots of people who do things in the name of God that we would say we know that is a sin based off their actions and their reactions. And so when we come to the spot, he says, lay apart these things. And the only way we're going to truly understand the word of God and be able to be a doer of the word is if we know what the author wants and what the author is thinking and how the author is reacting to these things. If we truly do not understand what the author is saying or what the author wants, so often we have done things and we've done things what we thought was the right way, but we never took time to listen. And that's what he's saying here, that it, which is able to save your souls. You're going to have to be a Christian in order to be able to get his word. When it says at the end of verse 25, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The only way that we can do the word of God and know the word of God is by knowing the Savior. If we're truly wanting the blessing of God, that this man shall be blessed in his deed, we got to be a Christian, be a believer. Verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So he comes to the spot and he says, if we do not respond to what we hear, then we are self-deceived. If we do not respond to the things that we've heard, that's what he's saying here. Don't just be a doer. Don't just be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Because if we respond to what we hear, then we are, if we do not respond to what we hear, we are deceived. And there are a lot of people out there, I believe, sincere, that are deceived because they feel like, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and they have something in their heart, and it says, you're not doing the word of God. Yes, I am. I heard it. Then what is it that we're doing? Do you know the heart of God? I think about in this thought of process, one preacher put it this way. The problem with many people in our churches today is they never apply what they hear. They're like a sponge. They sit, they soak, and then they sour. And it's like, we must give out what comes in. The Lord calls the person who hears the truth and doesn't act upon it, he calls them a fool. Think about what it says in Matthew 7:26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Luke chapter 11, verse 11:28, it says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There's another blessed one that ties in with this. It's not just hearing the word of God, and we are blessed to hear it. But it's not only blessing it, but it's keeping it. It is not simply enough to hear. The best way to understand the part of the Bible you don't understand is to do the things you do understand. Let me say that again. The best way to understand a part of the Bible you do not understand is by doing those things you know you're supposed to do. Why is God going to show you more of his revealed will and more of what's right when you're not obeying over here? And that's and those passages of scripture is simple and it makes sense, but why should God show anyone more truth until they're acted upon the truth that God has already shown them? If we're not acting upon the truth that God's already shown us, why is God going to teach us and show us more? A study of the Bible gives us knowledge about God. Obedience actually gives us knowledge of God. A study of the Bible gives us knowledge about God, but when we obey it, it gives us a knowledge of who God is because he can bless the deeds and we can see what he's doing. Obedience makes God real to us. Think what Bible says in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. Most people are like, yeah, I know that verse. But that last phrase, and will manifest myself to him. You can write it down, look it up later, John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And he says, I will love him and manifest myself to him. If we don't keep his commandments, it's saying that we truly don't love the Lord. And if we truly don't love the Lord, you know what's going to happen? He's never going to be able to manifest or reveal himself unto us. We might say we love our wives or love our husbands or love an individual, but if we never learn about them, we're never going to truly understand them and never going to really be able to love them the way that they deserve to be loved. Sometimes people struggle with, what should I get as a gift? Valentine's, Christmas, birthday, whatever it is. But if you truly know your mates, now some of them might be hard enough because they already have so much. But if you truly know your mate and you're listening to them and you're desiring to know them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a good understanding of what's going to please them because you know them and you understand them because you've demonstrated love, you learned of them and all those other things. So it's important to remember this. When we love Jesus, then we shall be loved by the Father and he will manifest himself to us. So in the scripture tonight, let's see what it's saying here. It says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers only, because if you do, not you're going to be deceiving your own self. Let's go to another. Let's keep on going. Familiar passages of scripture. says, for if any man be here, verse 23, James 1, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I like this illustration. It's something that's very self-explanatory, and I like it when there's things in the Bible that we can take and pays attention to. You know, at different times when I've taught, I brought up a mirror when we looked at this passage of Scripture. And it's the idea is taking a look and then responding to what you see. There's a couple thoughts here, and a couple thoughts that are important. Number one, you see that it gives the idea that the person, it says that they looked in there. It's not that they ignored it. It's not that they didn't see in the Bible. It says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds it, and he says he beholdeth himself and go his way. It's like it's a glance. You sit there and you look in the mirror, and you look in the mirror, you take a glance, and you see that there's problems. And you just turn around and keep on going. I don't know, maybe some of you roll out of bed looking as nice as you look now. I'm not that person. I don't roll out of bed looking as nice as I roll, as I look. You know, there's things I have to do to be able to make sure my hair looks right, to be able to make sure that there's just certain things that you do to make yourself look what we would consider presentable. And oftentimes, is someone to take a quick glance and they'll notice, okay, yes, my hair looks bad. Yes, I have something in my teeth. Yes, I have, things that I could cover up or things I need to do. You know, sometimes people look at that and they see that and say, I see that, and they walk away. And that's what the Bible's saying here is when we take a look here and we look in the Bible and we see that the Bible says, hey, don't be just the hearer of the word, be a doer. He's like, you know what, I need to do that. But if we don't take steps to make a change in our life and we turn around and we walk away, then you know what it looks like? It looks like a person who looked in the mirror and saw the flaws, saw the problems, and they ignored it. And that's what we do when we get into the Bible is sometimes if we just take a glance, we don't even realize, yeah, I see there's a problem there, but I don't think there's any really help for that. I like the way that Adrian Rogers put it, and I thought it was kind of neat. He says, in James 1, 23, 24, paints a picture of a man in a hurry. He has a lot on his mind. He takes a casual glance at himself and rushes on. If the Bible is like a mirror, then this man is simply getting a glimpse into the Word and not really applying it to their lives. Most Christians I know today are this kind of Bible student. They are like a gnat, bouncing here and there instead of being like a bee and diving in and staying long enough to extract the sweetness. Contrastingly, the man in verse 25 gazes at the word, and this is someone who delights in God's word, who applies God's word, who cherishes God's word. What are we more like? Are we like the gnat that bounces around and bounces around, or are we like the bee that will get into it and extract the sweetness that's there? And I thought that was good because that's what happens oftentimes with sometimes people's like, oh, I know I got to read my Bible. I put a commitment to that Bible reading and I got to read a chapter or I got to read three chapters. I need to mark it off my list. And I've been there. I've done that before. And I'm liking that. And I'll see that and I'll read that. So, oh, that's good. I know there's something in there. I know there's something I need to change, but I do not take the time to let it make a change and make a difference. It's as if I got up in the morning time and I looked in the mirror and said, hey, I know I should get my face fixed or my hair fixed or my teeth fixed or whatever it is that people do to get ready. And I know it's different things for different people. And as I says, instead of doing anything, I just take a quick glance. It's like, oh, okay, and pretend like there's nothing wrong. And that's what sometimes people do is they get this quick glance, they look in the mirror, and they're like, oh, I see that, but it's okay, and just keep on going. And they forget, it says in verse 24, and for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Sometimes people are walking around unlike that they didn't even look in the Bible because they've forgotten it because they haven't taken the time to fix the things that need to be fixed. And they haven't taken the time to get their comb out and comb their hair. They haven't taken the time, if you're a lady, to put makeup on. I mean, that's who's supposed to wear makeup. It's ladies, not men. And, you know, all those different things that we come across. Why do we continue on saying it's important enough to care about the physical aspect when the spiritual aspect speaks just as much about us? Sometimes I could say to myself, when I treat certain people certain ways or have a short fuse or not patient, I'm thinking, man, I didn't spend enough time in the Bible today. I didn't, because I haven't let it change my heart, my life like it could and should. And then you come to verse 25, which is the main verse. And I want you to, we'll look at this for a few minutes. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So a couple things I want you to think about. This word, but whoso looketh into. Now that idea of looking, it talks about stooping down. It talks about taking time. It talks about not just quickly glancing, but instead it talks about taking the time to look. It's the same word that's used about John when he goes to the tomb. Peter rushes in, but John takes time to look and understand, and it says John believes. And many times when we get into the Bible, if we will take time to look and take time to understand, then we'll take time to believe what's being said, because he's given to us and he's given to our word. Sometimes so many people look at the Bible for different reasons and they don't take time. They take a look at it for historical reasons. Sometimes they take a look at it for, some people read the Bible to admire the magnificent literature. Where in the world indeed can we find such stories, such vivid poetry, imagery as in the Bible? John Phillips writes, some people read the Bible to verify its history. A whole science of archaeology has grown up around the inerrant way of which the Bible touches on the histories of men and nations. Others people study the Bible to seek out its teaching on nature, science, philosophy, and psychology. No other book deals so accurately with matters that fall within the providence of science. Some people make a lifelong study of the great legal codes of Scripture. The Mosaic Law is an acknowledged masterpiece of legislation and foundation of many of our modern legal systems. Some people study the Bible to uphold or disapprove the soul-destroying theories of the so-called higher critics. Some people spend their time disproving the teachings of the various cults of Christendom, most of which claim to be based on the Bible. Some people study the Bible to become an expert in Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, vocabularies, and grammar, and in doing so compile a vast concordance of lexicons with which to weigh each jot and tittle of the text. Some people study the Bible devotionally. Others study it doctrinally. Some study analytically. Some study it synthetically. And others study it homiletically. But nearly all these ways or reasons for studying the Bible have their place. But overall, what James is saying is, if we are a hearer of the word, but not a doer, we're just deceiving ourselves. Because Bible study is not the end in itself, it is a means to an end. The Bible calls for a response. We must do what it says. And obviously, it is the word of God, and if we don't do it, it's like pouring water into a sieve. So I want to encourage you today, take time to look into the word of God. When he says, but whoso looketh, it's not a person that's taking a quick glance. It's not that gnat that is coming around. It's instead that person is taking time to look into the Bible. The Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 2, if we would search for it as hid treasures. The Bible talks about if we would seek for it after hid treasures. Then we will know and understand God and understand the fear of the Lord. We don't take time like we should. Now, look at the next phrase. What are we supposed to look into? Into the perfect law of liberty. Now, some people's like, well, you said law and you said liberty. See, Christian liberty is found in doing things that are right. So often people say, hey, I have the liberty to do this and do that, and they are in bondage of sin unlike anything else. But the perfect law, and I believe this is talking about the law of grace. I believe this is talking about the law of the New Testament. I know when Paul is talking about Romans, he's talking about the Mosaic law. This is saying that this is the law that we live by, and it's the law of the Lord. Now, it's not based off of whether or not we're getting to heaven. We cannot work and cannot earn our way to heaven. But if we truly want the liberty to live for the Lord and the liberty to choose to live for him, there are certain things we will do, and there are certain things we will not do. There are certain things that please him that give us liberty to do, and that, like he says, this man shall be blessed in his deed, and there's others that will cause us to have miserable lives. And so many times I see Christians sitting miserably because of bitterness or because of some type of bondage they're in, pornography sometimes, bad relationships. There's just so many anger, so many things that have bottled people up that they don't have the liberty to live for the Lord like they want to because they are in bondage by worry, by anxious, by so many other things. And he's saying, if you'll take time, not just a quick glance, not just say, I'll be okay and just keep on going. It's look if into the perfect law of liberty. And then it continues on. And he says, and continueth therein. So it's not just, hey, I'm going to look into it, I'm going to learn what it says, and I'm going to learn how to live, and I'm just going to go ahead and leave. Like I read that long illustration that John Phillips written. There are a lot of people who study the Bible for different reasons. But if our reason for reading the Bible and studying the Bible and looking for the Bible through the Bible is not to obey it and not to learn the things that it shows us, the Bible says we're deceiving ourselves. The Bible says that we are being foolish if we will hear these things and know these things and not do them. And sometimes churches are full of people who are foolish because they know the truth and they choose not to do it because they just say it's too hard or it's not worth it. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't deceive yourselves. Obey it. And that's what he says, he being not a forgetful hearer. Now, how many people are forgetful? I am. Hopefully you would admit that, hey, as you get older, we become a little bit more forgetful. And that's he's not going to forget things that are important to him. And many times when we come across a sin or a problem, it's not us, oh, I know I'm not supposed to lie, and we forget that we're not supposed to lie. That's not the case. If we know the truth and we understand God, oh, I know I'm not supposed to look at that dirty picture. Yeah, you know that. You haven't forgot that. It's just when we choose to leave it behind and we know it and we choose to ignore it and being a forgetful hearer, forgetting those things that you know that are truth, but be a doer of the work, that we need to do the things that we have been told to do, a doer of the work. And then there's that phrase. And it says at the end, he says, this man, what man? This man who in verse 21 has laid apart the filthiness and the superfluity of naughtiness, the man who's received the word and let the word be engrafted into him, the man who's saved, the man who's not just hearing the words, the man who's not letting himself be deceived, but he's a doer of the words, the one who is looking into the Bible as a mirror. And as you look in the Bible as a mirror, is there something I need to change? Is there something that I need? And there's different angles and different ways. Is there something in this passage that can help me? Is there a flaw in my life? Is there something, if you come to the Lord that way, you know what he's going to do? He's going to show you the flaws. The mirror is true. Sometimes you look in the mirror and says, I can't believe I look like that. And it's not going to lie to you. So like a picture. Now, you can have different pictures that are clouded and things like that, but a picture, hey, I didn't know I looked like that. Well, the camera's not going to lie. And the same thing with the mirror, it's not going to lie. And it's saying here, hey, don't just look into the Bible to just look into it. Look into the Bible to admire how good you are. See if there's something that you need to change. And take a deep, good, long look. Don't be that gnat that's bouncing around. Be the bee that dives into the flower and drains out the goodness and the sweetness. Look at that next phrase at the end. This man. What man? The man who has laid apart things. The man who's not just a hearer, he's a doer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And that word blessed means supremely blessed. That means having the blessing of God, having the benefit, the favor. Supremely blessed. That's the person that God looks at and says, what he is doing is something I can bless. What he is doing is something I will bless. That man shall be blessed in his deed. Once again, we can live our whole lives going one way and another and never getting to the spot of the blessing of God in our hearts. It's because we've heard it and we've heard it and we've heard it, but we've never let it out. We've never experienced it providentially and experientially. And the idea that I'm going to obey what the Bible says. If it tells me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. If it tells me I'm supposed to be joyful, I'm going to be joyful. If it tells me I'm supposed to tell other people about Jesus Christ, it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it. If it tells me I'm supposed to submit to my husband, love my wife. It tells me I'm supposed to be faithful to church. It tells me all those different things. That's what I'm gonna look at it and see if there's a flaw, and I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna do it because I've looked into the Bible and looked into that mirror, and I haven't just done a casual look to just run by. Hey, do I look okay? Sure, and go. I've looked into the Word of God, and I've learned from what the Word of God has for me tonight. Is there something in your life that you would say, I'm not willing to do right now? Bible's saying, hey, you're not going to be blessed. We're deceived, and when we're thinking we're okay, when we allow sin to remain in our heart and our life. Why is it that we don't meet joyful Christians very often? It's because there's usually some type of sin there. And I'm not talking about a person gets choking around. I'm talking about a person that not putting on a show, but has the love of the Lord on their heart and life. And I, like I said, I see people like that. I'm thankful for people like that. But they're not the majority. The majority are usually a little bit condescending or a little bit disappointed, a little bit discouraged, a little bit overwhelmed. And I get it. The world beats us up. But there should be a joy for the Lord in our hearts and our lives. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, we need you. Lord, the reality is, I truly believe we want to be blessed. We're here on a Wednesday night. We're looking at a passage of scripture that we've seen before. We're asking for you to drill it into our hearts because we don't like being miserable. We don't like being overwhelmed by this world. We want to live a victorious Christian life. We want to see your blessings. We want to see you we want to bear fruit for your honor, for your glory. We're tired of working over and over and over for hour after hour and not seeing your blessing because there's something that's disconnected. And Lord, would you connect the dots for us? Would you show us and demonstrate to us the things in our lives that we are lacking in? And Lord, not only that we would see them in the mirror, but we would take time to fix them. Not only would we take time to observe what things are flawed, but we would come to you and say, Lord, I need your help in fixing this. God, show me. And we would look into your law. We would look into the perfect law of liberty and seek where that liberty is found at. Lord, help us lay aside all fluidity of naughtiness, those things that we don't even need to have a part in. Help us to, instead of believing that I'm okay by not obeying, help us to believe what the Bible says. We're deceiving ourselves if we feel like we're okay. It's easy to blame it on somebody else. It's hard to take a long look in the mirror to see what's wrong. Help us to see it. Help us to make that commitment. Help us to seek to be that person that is blessed in their deed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and